So what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. It's interesting as we begin this season of Advent to reflect upon what readings the Church gives us. What is the first reading that the Church presents to us? And of course, it's taken from the prophet Isaiah. As I'm sure you're very familiar, the book of Isaiah has 66 chapters. Our reading today is from a couple of verses in chapter 63, first 8 verses in chapter 64. So right at the very end of this part of Isaiah. And essentially this reading that we have today is a reflection on sin, what it is, its nature, and the various dimensions. Isaiah gives us a whole series of images and illustrations to help us understand what it is that sin is. The first one that he presents, he says, why, Lord, do you lead us to stray from your ways? To stray. It's a horrible sensation being lost, isn't it? I was up in the Royal National Park going for a bit of a bushwalk this week. It kind of reminded me of another walk. You know, when you go out for a walk, especially when you're by yourself and the tracks aren't necessarily all that well marked, you kind of look out for various points along the way that can guide you when you're making your return trip. And it reminded me of a walk I made a couple of years ago out on the Beecroft Peninsula in the area around the Gosong Tunnel. And it's fairly heavy, fairly thick bush. And I made my way and I thought I would come back a slightly different track to the one that I came, to the one that I went there. And I was making my way back along this track when it just seemed to peter out, as is often the case with various tracks and trails. I found myself in increasingly thick bush. So thick I couldn't force my way through, and it was well above my head, so I couldn't even get points of reference. I couldn't see the trees. I couldn't see the sky. I couldn't, you know, work out which way was north. And it was getting quite late in the day. It was getting dark, and I was starting to get, you know, a little bit frantic at this point. Anyway, eventually I did find my way out, but it is a very frightening experience being lost in the bush, even if it's only briefly. It doesn't have to be, you know, when we're by ourselves in, you know, almost stationary. I remember one time when I was in Europe and driving around, I was going from Frankfurt, and I was meeting a friend that evening down in Austria, and so I had to basically drive right across to Germany. I was heading towards Stuttgart, and there was roadworks on the Autobahn that I was driving along. And so there was a slight deviation, a slight detour, and I thought I'd taken the correct exit, but turned out as I was trying to, you know, work out where I was, where I was going, as we were driving along at 160 kilometers an hour, that in fact I wasn't going south that I wanted to be doing. I was going north. It's a kind of very disconcerting experience to know that you're driving 160 kilometers an hour in the wrong direction. Found eventually a place where I could turn around and made my way back down the motorway, the Autobahn again, got to the same junction. Again, the roadworks confused me, and this time rather than heading south, I ended up heading west, back where I'd begun half an hour or so before. And this time, there just didn't seem to be anywhere to get off the Autobahn. I was driving, and I'd find an exit, and I'd take it, and find out it was only a rest area or a service center. It didn't actually get me off the motorway and didn't provide an opportunity to turn around. And of course, you know, as you well imagine, that my language was, you know, perfectly serene and perfectly beautiful and wonderful, and there were no expletives or anything else uttered at this point. The sense of being lost, the sense of not knowing where we are, knowing the direction that we're going, and it's the wrong way. It's not the way I want my life to be about. And we remember that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Sin is knowing that our way, the way we're going, where we are right now, is not the way that God wants it to be. It's not the way I know my life has to be about. The second image that Isaiah uses, it's a very common image, of course, one we're very familiar with in the scriptures, the image of a heart that has grown hard. A heart that, if you like, has this shell, this crusty exterior around it that prevents the way of God from shining through. It's a beautiful image because it reminds us of so much of our lives, so much of our experience, where people hurt us, where we have these arguments, these disputes. We just seem unable, incapable of loving someone, of forgiving someone, of giving them a second chance. Sometimes when people come to me in confession, I find myself giving the same essential advice. If people find it too hard to forgive, there's no point in beating ourselves up and saying, you must forgive them. Because sometimes we're just unable to do that, incapable of doing that. The advice that I often give to people in confession is to say to them, the first thing that you must do is simply allow God to love you in that place, to let His love wash over you. Because our hearts will continue to be dry and stony and crusty until something happens to break through that shell. And that something has to be the love of God. It can only be the love of God. So we need to pray, we need to ask the Lord to love us, fill us with His love. The next image, and I think one that is often confusing for many people, because it's a description of God's anger at our sin. So often we imagine God to be this old man, you know, the long hair, the long beard, sitting on His throne of judgment, aloof, alien. That's not the image Scripture in general portrays. And this sense of anger is more about frustration. It's the sense of God knowing what we can be, knowing the way that He created us to be, and wanting us, imagining us, hoping that we can experience that fullness of life and existence and the pleasure of God. And that is the frustration, that is this anger that God has about our sin. Not because He's angry in Himself, but He's frustrated because of our inability to experience the fullness of that life and love that He has for us. Another image that Isaiah uses is of a leaf no longer connected to the tree, but one that has grown old, one that has died and has fallen from the tree and is dry and withered, tossed about by the winds. We remember the image of Jesus as the true vine, inviting us, encouraging us to stay connected to the vine, to allow that life of God to flow into us. And so we realize that another aspect of sin is when we cut ourselves off from our church, from our prayer, from family and friends who call us and encourage us in our life of faith. And leads us to the final image that Isaiah uses in our reading today, the beautiful image where he says, and yet God is our Father. He is the potter and we are the clay. I don't know if any of you have ever attempted to do pottery. I remember at school we had a go. We had the lump of clay on the pottery wheel and I was shaping and attempting to make something wonderful about this, from this lump of clay, this mud. And at the end of the class, it seemed that all I'd made was a slightly bumpy and shaped lump of clay. And then the teacher came and helped me to provide shape and direction and guidance to this clay. And indeed, it was something quite wonderful, quite beautiful that was produced. Again, it's a great image for us. If we think our lives are muddy and clumpy and dirty and a mess, to know that God is potter, that God can reshape our lives. Even if we've made some bad decisions, even if our lives have taken a bad turn, the Lord is there guiding us, shaping us. So let us pray. Lord our God, we thank you for this gift of a new season and the hope of a new year. Lord, help us as we begin along the journey of this new year to open our hearts and our lives to all that you would give to us this year. Lord, encourage us to trust in you. Lord, help us to let you love us. Lord, love us. Lord, break through the crusty shells of our hearts. Lord, give that nourishment, give that new life that only you can bring. Lord, if our hearts, our lives have grown dry and withered, breathe new life in us. Restore us again to that fullness of life by reconnecting us to the church, by reconnecting us to the true vine of your life. Finally, Lord, mold us, shape us, open us to your work in our lives. Lord, recreate us and renew us. Remind us that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved except the name of Jesus. And so in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.